Praise be Jesus and Mary.
And now and
forever. Today's gospel is taken from the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said that he didn't come to abolish the law or the prophets, he came to fulfill them. The law and the prophets is shorthand for the Old Testament. So Jesus' mission and his message are not in competition with the, quote, God of the Old Testament, unquote, as you'll sometimes hear the Lord referred to in a pejorative way. No, Jesus is the God of the Old Testament, right? Remember, Jesus is a divine person, second person of the Blessed Trinity. So the idea that the God in the Old Testament is a different God than the Father that Jesus himself revealed in the New Testament is not true, of course. It's heretical. Christ's mission isn't to contradict or abolish the Old Testament, it's to fulfill it. The Greek word that St. Matthew uses for to fulfill means to make it complete. One thing that the Lord is saying here is that if you want to understand him, you have to understand the Old Testament. You have to understand the Old Covenant. His mission doesn't make sense without it. The New Covenant includes and concludes the Old Covenant. It perfects and transforms it at the same time. The sacrificial laws of the Old Testament did expire with the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Those laws actually pointed to him. And the Hebrew dietary laws ceased because they no longer served their purpose. But the moral laws, i.e. the Ten Commandments, were retained and refined. We'll get to that point in a minute. So there's what we call continuity between Israel's religious heritage and our Catholic religious heritage. Rupture is the opposite of continuity. Rupture came with the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century. That was not a godly rupture. The Protestants lost a lot of things that the Lord didn't want them to lose in their revolution. It's important that we rupture from sin, of course, right? That we break away from that. But the Lord doesn't want us breaking away from his church or from everything in the past, for that matter. That's why between Catholicism and Judaism, there's continuity, a lot of continuity and similarity. What are some examples that we have in common with the people of the Old Testament? Well, there are altars to sacrifice to God in the Old Testament. We, of course, have our altar of sacrifice to God at the center of our churches. In the Old Testament tabernacle of Moses, there was the holy place in the tabernacle where the bread of presence was placed. In our tabernacles, in the sanctuary, which is a word for the holy place, we have the true bread of the presence. We have the Holy Eucharist there. In our Liturgy of the Hours, what do we pray? We pray the Psalms of David, the Psalms which are sung in Israel in the Old Testament. The synagogue worship of the Jews included a reading from the Torah, a reading from the prophets, and a homily. In the Mass, what do? Well, we read from the Old Testament and also the New Testament, and then followed by what? A homily. There are also pronouncements and blessings that we use that come directly from the Old Testament. For example, may the Lord bless you and keep you, may he show his face to you and have mercy on you, may he turn his countenance towards you and give you his peace. We Franciscans call that the blessing of St. Francis. It's actually directly from the Old Testament book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Also, the Jews had a liturgical calendar, which included feasts like the Feast of Tabernacles, the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They also celebrated Pentecost as well. We have a liturgical calendar, which includes different feasts and different seasons too. Easter, Christmas, Advent, Lent, Pentecost, special feasts, on certain days. The Jews had at times fasting and almsgiving. We have times of fasting and almsgiving, like now during Lent. The Jews prayed for the dead. We read that in the Old Testament book of Maccabees. What do? We pray for the dead as well. Prophets of the Old Testament perform miracles. What do the saints do? A lot of them perform miracles as well. In the Old Testament, there were priests and lay people and people consecrated especially to God. What do we have in the church? We have priests, we have lay people, we have some people that are consecrated especially to God. Their priests in the Old Testament wore liturgical vestments. What do our priests do? We do the same, right? These are just a few of the things that show that we do have, there's a lot of continuity and continuing aspect between God's chosen people in the Old Testament, his first chosen people, and God's new chosen people, whom we are. So Jesus didn't abolish or get rid of everything in the Old Testament. He came to make it all complete. Another aspect of continuity is the Ten Commandments, as we already mentioned. But our Lord, in today's gospel, said that there's much more to the Ten Commandments than just meets the eye. He begins by saying, whoever breaks one of these least commandments which he's about to give and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches them will be called greatest in the kingdom. Matthew 5:19. And then he goes on in the Sermon on the Mount to speak about things like anger and adultery and oaths and retaliation and enemies and almsgiving and other things as well. As the author of the law and now the authoritative interpreter of the law, Jesus' teachings in the Sermon on the Mount, they actually transcend the traditional understanding of the commandments. They go beyond just the external observance, beyond just the technical letter of the law meaning. One ancient commentator says that the least in the kingdom of heaven are those who observe the commandments only in a superficial face value level. So someone comes into the confessional, they say, Father, I haven't killed anyone, I haven't cheated on my wife. Well, that's good. It's good that you haven't done those things. But Jesus says also that in our interior dispositions are very important too. For example, our Lord says, if you look lustfully at a woman in your heart, you're committing spiritual adultery with her. Or if you're internally adding wood and gasoline toward the fire of hatred towards someone, you're spiritually murdering them. If you pray just so that others see you praying, so that they'll think you're a good person, but you don't actually pray sincerely or from the heart, your prayers are actually going to be in vain. They aren't going to be worth very much. This is what one of the Old Testament authors, one of the old fathers of the church said. He actually wasn't a father of the church. He was pseudo-Chrysostom. He said this. He said, the precepts of Moses are easy to obey. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. The very greatness of their crime is a check upon the desire for committing them. Therefore, the reward for their observance is small, the sin of transgression great. But Christ's precepts, you shall not be angry, you shall not lust, are hard to obey, and therefore in their reward they are great, in their transgression least. Therefore those who commit these lesser sins are least in the kingdom of God, he says. It's one interpretation of what Jesus is saying in the gospel today, which, at least according to our opinion, seems to make a lot of sense when you think about it. The 4th century bishop, St. Chromatius, for his part, says this, while it's sinful to abolish the least of the commandments, all the more so the great and most important ones. Hence, the Holy Spirit affirms through Solomon, he who despises small things will fail little by little. That's Sirach 19, verse 1. The New Jerusalem Bible says, one who makes light of small matters will gradually sink. So we shouldn't sweat the small stuff, but we also shouldn't discard it either. All that to say that Jesus doesn't despise or do away with the Old Testament. He fulfills it and perfects it. And as the one author of both the New and the Old Covenant, Jesus expects greater things from us than he did from the children of Israel in the Old Testament. He expects more from us. To whom much is given, much will be required, he says, Luke 12:48. He expects us to interiorize his teachings, to be more than just superficial believers. So let's ask Our Lady for the grace to do what she did. St. Luke in his gospel twice says that she pondered the things of Jesus in her heart. She really interiorized and took to heart everything that Jesus said and did. Let's ask her for the grace to do the same, remembering what Jesus says, whoever obeys and teaches the commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:19. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever. Amen.